So part of what we do in being people baptized, my mic is on, so you may need to turn it up in the back room, Philip. Just see if you can turn it up from the desk into the back room. My mic is on. One of the things with baptism, it's an opportunity for a public confession of faith. That's why you're doing it. That's why we do it in public. It's important for people to do that. But obviously we understand that some people are nervous in public speaking. Not me, as you may have noticed. Yeah, I could see her brain was going, he's Irish, he can talk. What's he talking about? Huh? First week here, Marcy, and she's insulting me already. So some people are nervous. Some people don't like being in front of crowds and stuff like that. So we've recorded a couple of testimonies. So Linda and Adam. So this is going to be on video. Then Kerry's going to come and introduce something for the kids and activity packs. And then we'll move on from there. So thank you. Well, welcome everyone. We have Linda here with us, who's one of our candidates getting baptized today. She's looking particularly tall, but that's because we've got her step. So she's not normally that tall, in case you're wondering.
I'm a midget.
A very likeable midget,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Linda, you obviously came to us, heard we were doing baptism, and wanted to do this. Can you tell us a little bit why you want to take this step, why it's important to you?
I've been meaning to do it for years. I've been a Christian for quite a few years, coming in and out of the faith. And then really about, 15 years ago, I had a mental breakdown. And I had a friend who lived in Holy Island. Mm-hmm. So I went up there and I stayed there for 5 months with her, helped out at the church, really found God then. And then I came back down here, started to try and find a church, and I couldn't find. Kept going to different churches and didn't feel anything. And then I came here, and for years someone's going in my head, get baptised, you need to get baptised. It's your time, you need to do it. And I never did it. Okay. And it's funny because I thought I was, because I was christened, mm-hmm. I thought I didn't need to, but obviously I do.
Yeah, it is important, that act of obedience, mm-hmm. where you're saying to God, I'm committing to follow you. I'm mm-hmm. serious about that commitment. So what are some of the changes that you've noticed even recently in your life as God's been working?
I'm a lot freer in my head. I've always suffered with mental health. I still struggle with it, mm-hmm. but I'm a lot more freer with it. And I just give it to God. Anything I get anxious about, anxiety, I give it to God. As you know, when I used to come mm-hmm. here, always had a princess. Now I come, I don't always have her, because yeah. I don't need it. I do need her, but yeah.
And I think that's one of the important things to learn about. Baptism doesn't make you perfect overnight.
No.
There still is that growth, and there still is that journey. Baptism is one of those steps that acts as a catalyst for your growth. Mm-hmm. So we're glad that you're taking that step at last. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to what God wants to do in your life. So let me just pray for you now. Father, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for her taking this important step. And we pray your blessing on her. We pray that it will be a real catalyst for growth in her life, and that she'll continue to experience that freedom and that healing and that wholeness that you want to bring into her experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have another candidate for baptism here today. And Adam, it's great to have you. And we're looking forward to baptizing you. Tell us a little bit about your experience, because you haven't always been connected to church, have you?
I've never been christened as a child or anything, and never really believed in any faith, to be honest with you. It wasn't until my addiction days, and when I started preaching, they were taught us at that place to preach in God. And then since I started to do that, my life has changed massively. And then obviously I met Adita, and we started going through the Bible, and obviously meeting yourself and coming to church, and it's just everything in my life is starting to change. And
so can you tell us some of the specific changes?
It's just, I don't know, it's hard to explain, just everything's going right for me at the moment, and everything's changed in my life. My cravings seem to have gone. I don't have a craving for addiction anymore, and I just want a better life, and with God's guidance, I believe I'm in a bubble all the time. Like I said to you, I remember when the first time I met you, that there's a bubble around me, and he's telling me to do the right thing, and it's helping me live a better life, and this is what I want to do.
And so why is baptism then important for you?
Just to forget the past and have a new fresh start, and have God, just have that connection with God, and make him direct me in the right way, and keep on pushing me in the right way, because I believe that this is definitely something I want to do, and I'm happy for.
Excellent. And we have seen those changes, haven't we? Even in the conversation we've had and the things we've done together, we've seen some of those changes, and the peace that you've experienced, and the health that you've kind of come into. So that's great. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're part of the church. We're looking forward to when you get married as well, because that's not long either.
Yeah.
So lots of changes this year, lots of stuff happening. So we're going to pray for you and pray God's blessing on you as we do that. So Father, we thank you for Adam. We thank you for what you are doing in his life. We thank you for the changes that you're bringing on the inside that are very apparent on the outside as well. So we pray that this baptism will be a catalyst for all you want to do and the new life that you've given him, as he's committed his life to you, as he wants to serve you and honor you in every area of his life. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Really excited for all of you. I'm really praying for all of you. You have no idea how much I was praying when the microphone was off. But it wasn't. My prayers never get answered. No, they do really. Pardon? Mine is on, definitely. I've had two people check. It is on. Thank you, Philip. For those of you that don't know, I quite often come up the front and I talk, and I always forget to turn my microphone on. David never, ever forgets to do anything, so it was going to be my day today. But I've just come up. I'm just going to give you a brief explanation as to what we do with the children in the church. We love having children within our family. We love children staying in with us and being part of the service, especially a service like today. Our Little Stars toddler group, their eyes lit up when they came in and saw this. I think they thought we'd got them a paddling pool and we had to keep moving them away, but maybe next week we can keep it up and they can have a play in it. So we do keep children in. We love children being part of it. Don't worry about noise, but if it is worrying you, as David said, there's a room over there that, where you can actually watch the whole service. In a minute, we're going to watch a video clip, because baptism can seem a bit strange. What's going to happen when they go in the water? What's actually the significance of it? So in a minute, we're just going to watch a quick clip that I think explains really, really well what baptism is about. Because there's nothing magic about that water. There's nothing magic about what's going to happen. The people that are getting baptized chose a while ago to follow Jesus. They made that decision. Their hearts have already started changing. What today is about is them showing everybody that they love and everybody within the church that that's what they've decided to do. And in a way, it's like becoming, if you wear a certain football shirt or if you follow a certain team, you might wear their pullover or their top. So it's just showing that they've chosen that that's the way they're going to go. And we're so pleased that they have. So in a minute, we're going to watch the clip. But just to let you know, we're going to come round with activity packs for children. I hope there's enough. If there aren't, some of you might have to share, because it's amazing to see so many children here. So what we've got to do today is, first of all, one of the things that the people that have made the decision to follow Jesus will find is that actually Jesus has like a little toolkit. Within the Bible, there are messages that give you hope whatever you're going through. Because being baptized doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect. But what it does mean is that you're never, ever going to be on your own. And so within our kit today, you've got a paper bag, and it says on the front, Jesus cares about you. And inside, it's a bit like a first aid kit, so you're going to get all the bits, you can colour them in, you can cut them out, and it's just got little things to show you how Jesus is with you all your life. So we'll give them out, and you can have a go at that. And we've also got a footprint, because our song that Amelia led us in said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And so we've got a footprint for you to colour in, and you can draw within the foot all the different ways that you might want to follow Jesus this week. How are you going to serve Jesus this week? So we'll come around once the video clip has finished with our activity packs, but watch this video and hopefully it will explain to you what baptism is.
What exactly is baptism? Well, first let's talk about what baptism is not. Baptism isn't the same thing as being born again. It's not a way to get to heaven, and it doesn't make God love you any more than he already does. Baptism is simply a way to let everyone know that you've been born again and you've chosen to follow Jesus. It's pretty simple, too. You'll get in some water, and a pastor will say a few things. Then they'll dip you under and bring you right back up. That's all there is to it. Now, you might be thinking, I would love to tell everyone that I follow Jesus, but why do I go underwater? Wouldn't it be easier to tell people with, like, a megaphone or a giant tattoo on my face? Well, the water is really just a symbol of what happens when we're born again. Going under the water represents our old life being washed away. Coming up out of the water shows that we are starting a new life with Jesus. We do it this way because it's the way Jesus did it. The Bible tells us in Matthew 3:13 how Jesus himself was baptized, just like this, when he was here on the earth. And since we want to follow Jesus in everything we do, being baptized is an important step to take after we make Jesus our Lord. Think of it like a jersey. When someone is on a sports team, they wear a jersey so that everyone can see which team they're on. When we're born again, we become a part of God's team. But we shouldn't just stop there. Being baptized is like putting on the jersey so everyone can see that we love Jesus and we've chosen to follow him. So if you've been born again and you haven't been baptized yet, what are you waiting for? It's time to put on your jersey and show everyone whose team you're on.
Of what baptism is. Now, we have a couple of more who are going to come up front and they're going to do a very short live testimony. So, Annabella, Tomek, Violetta, and Adida is going to translate for us as well. So, these guys are more comfortable and they're going to speak in their own language, Polish, and Adida is going to translate. So, Annabella, with you, you can hold that, and you will need to hold it up there. Tell us a little bit about your journey of faith and why you want to get baptized today.
Well, my journey is, I came from another religion, and I never thought it was my place. Don't get me wrong, I understand some people think it's their places, but I never thought it was mine. So I kind of stopped with the religion, just stopped completely, follow my life. Of course, I always believe in Jesus and in God, but I never care more religion. A few months ago, I decided going back and start when they start COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I got more time. Then I start going around that. And every time I pass here, actually, something tell him go inside, but I didn't know what it was. So I never went inside. I never thought it was a church. And I've been looking in the internet. And for some reason, some come like a new life in YouTube. When I decide to come, and I feel here is my place to be. It's like since I come here, my life has been changing. Some kind, you know. I'm more calm. I can see the things in a different way. I'm not that rushed person anymore. So I
can testify to that because Louie said to me, since she's been coming here, she's much nicer.
It's true.
So that's a winner right there, isn't it? Well, bless you. And I know you can see Annabelle is emotional, because it is emotional. And why shouldn't it be? God has created us that way. It touches us deeply. And so today, why is it so important for you to be baptized?
So it's like the way I told you before. For me, be baptized...
baptized?
I can't say that.
That's okay.
Sorry. It's like, left my whole life behind and follow Jesus from no one.
Yep.
And is that what I want to for do my life? So this is important for me, because actually it's like create connection with Jesus Christ. And I
Absolutely.
Want that so badly.
Fantastic. That's appreciate that. So are we going ladies first, Tomek? You seem very keen for Violetta to go first. Whoever wants to, we don't mind. So again, we're just really asking those simple questions. What is your journey of faith, and why is baptism today important for you? You will need to hold the microphone so that...
I was a Catholic before. I believe in God always. I was going to church, I was praying.
Ale widziałam, że grzeszę i że prawdopodobnie nie będę zbawiona nigdy, bo...
But I always feel I'm sinning and probably I won't be ever saved.
Kościół kładł nacisk na sakramenty, nie na ufność Bogu.
As the church was putting pressure on sacraments, not relationship and trust in God.
Nie znałam Biblii.
I didn't know the word of God, I didn't know the Bible. I started to study Bible thanks to my husband. And thanks to him as well, I am here. Now I know that because I believed in Jesus Christ, I will be saved. My life has changed. I know I'm a good person. That God cares about me. That He cares about me. He always will care about me, and He will never abandon me.
It's good.
And I know that life here on earth is only the way to eternal life with Jesus Christ. And to the home of God.
Amen. Thank you. Fantastic. Well done. Well done, Violetta. I know you were a little bit nervous and shy, but you did very well. Thank you. And Tomek. So Tomek, tell us a little bit about your journey of faith, which I guess will have some similarities.
About 6 years ago, through the TV, I started to listen to some pastor. He showed me the Bible and that I should study, and that this is the letter from Jesus to me. He told me gospel about being safe because of grace. I started studying. I believed in God. And that's how I am here.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Tomek. We really appreciate that. So, Ian, why don't you come and join me? We're going to pray for these guys. Thank you. We're going to pray for these guys as we did with the guys on video. So just come a little bit closer if you want to stand behind them. No. Stay. Something was lost in translation there. So, yeah, just put your hand on his shoulder. And Father, we thank you for these guys. We thank you for Annabella. We thank you for Tomek. We thank you for Violetta. We thank you for their clear demonstration that it's not about what they do. It's not about their works. It's about what Jesus Christ has done. It's a relationship with Him that brings us into that faith, that brings us into that relationship and reality. So we pray your blessing on them today. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. We have some baptism certificates for you. I think Liz has at the back, and she'll probably give those out to you now. So you can sit down. I'm going to share a short message, and then we'll get into the main event. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we engage with it today, that you will speak into our hearts, that you'll speak into our lives, you'll speak into every area of need that we have, because we know that there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we can receive salvation. Amen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've had the privilege of traveling to many different countries sharing this good news about Jesus. And one of the things I've noticed that as I've gone through, that there's been people set on pilgrimage. In fact, even in Ireland, a very Roman Catholic country, growing up, there were people who would literally crawl on their hands and knees up a particular mountain called Kirkpatrick. They would crawl on their hands and knees until they bled, because they believed that was one way to appease God and to obtain salvation. In India, I know there's people, I've seen them go to shrines to offer food to idols, to make sacrifices. And there was one guy who actually, outside the temple, was cutting himself. And when someone asked him, why are you doing that? He actually misquoted something from the Bible, because it was in their Hindu books. And he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now, for those of us who follow Jesus, we know that it's not our blood that needs to be shed. It was the fact that Jesus shed his blood that brings us into relationship. In Sri Lanka, people will walk over coals of fire in order to try and attain some merit and some measure of appeasement towards God. But truthfully, we don't have to do that, because the Bible says there is one mediator between man and God. As we said right at the start, the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to that, because I believe that's my responsibility. Because we carry with us the message of Jesus. This is what the Word of God says. There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world just at the right time. See, in my travels, I've had many people who respond to me and they'll say, well, of course we believe Jesus was a messenger, because we believe he was a good teacher. And even people who don't come to church or engage with Christianity will recognize the teaching of Jesus have such deep meaning and value even for society. It's the basis of many of the British laws of fairness and justice. We understand he was a teacher. Some people will say, well, he was a prophet. He came with God's message, or he was a healer, or he was a guru or a guide or something like that. And often I'll respond to people and I'll say, well, I'm glad you believe Jesus was God's messenger, because I have his message. He has given us his message. In fact, Jesus himself was very clear in his message. Don't let anyone fool you into thinking that Jesus didn't think he was God, or that he had a mission to fulfill, that he was just some teacher or healer, or he came to do good like a pumped up social worker. No. Jesus came as the Son of God. In fact, this is what he said. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You see, Jesus brings direction to a lost world. I'm sure in your moments of quietness or in your moments of reflection, you have wondered over the last 2 years, what on earth is the world coming to? Where are we heading? Where are we going? How's this thing going to work out? Jesus said he is the way. He didn't say he was pointing to the way. He didn't say, here's a path of enlightenment for you. Why don't you follow this? He said, I am the way. He was making very definite statements about the most important questions of life. Where do we come from? We believe that God created us in his image. That's why he loves you. That's why you're valuable. Irrespective of race, color, creed, sexuality, anything, God loves you passionately. The Bible says he loves you with an everlasting love. He couldn't love you more because he created you. Does our life have any ultimate meaning and purpose? What happens when we die? People have searched the fields of philosophy and religion and history and culture and all of those things to try and figure out answers to those questions. And one time they did a survey, and they surveyed 250 philosophers, and they said, please tell us your understanding of the meaning of life. And you know, many of those philosophers came back and thought, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But a whole group came back and they said, we're searching for the answer for that question too. If you can find it, please tell us. You see, I think there is that search. I think there is that understanding that there's something more than life. Or maybe you feel confident that your way is right. Maybe you feel confident, well, I'm a good person. You know, I've never robbed a bank. I help old ladies across the road. I give to charity. Maybe you think all those things are right. But actually, Jesus says that he is the way. And maybe you need to stop and think, are you heading in the right direction? Because sometimes we can believe stuff, even with science, that they've proved years later, the absolute opposite is true. Do you know what the Bible says? That all our own righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. All the good things that we think, well, this will kind of balance out the scales and God will let me into heaven. No, the only question God's interested in when we stand before him is, what have you done with Jesus? And Jesus comes and says to us, I am the way. That is the only way to have a secure eternity. Because if we choose not to follow him in this life, then we won't have the opportunity to follow him in the next. Sometimes people also say, well, on my deathbed, maybe I'll put it right then. Listen, maybe you won't have the chance. We've seen that, haven't we? People's lives can be taken away from them very quickly, and they may not have the chance. Maybe you're thinking, well, actually, my purpose is really to build a comfortable, prosperous life, and that way I'll be secure. Really? My mother used to say, there's no pockets in a shroud. You can't take it with you. Jesus himself said, life does not consist in the abundance of the things we possess. Because it can be taken away in 30 seconds. 30 seconds with your doctor can change your life. One test result can change your life. Nothing is secure that we try and cling on to. Jesus said, he is the only way to a relationship with God. Jesus also brings reality to a confused world. Jesus said, I am the truth. If we want to know the truth, if we honestly want to engage in that pursuit of truth, Jesus says a couple of things to us. John 7, verse 17. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. See, Jesus wasn't afraid for people to examine his teaching. Jesus wasn't afraid for people to challenge him because he knew he was leading people in the way of truth. There are some religions you can't question. You can't ask any questions. You can't investigate. You can't look at things and reason things through. Jesus is the truth and he welcomes us investigating. He welcomes us because he said if a king is going to war, before he goes to war, he's going to sit down and calculate the cost of going to war. And he's going to decide, is this worth it? Jesus many times challenged people because he found out really where their gods were. To one young man he said, okay, there's only one thing you lack. You're a good person, but there's only one thing you lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me. And the Bible records that that rich young ruler went away sad because money was his god. Money was the thing that was making him secure. And Jesus said, you can't have that. He said, I am the truth. John 14, verse 9, some of the last words from Jesus to his disciples. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Now, I know in today's age, for many people, their relationship with their father hasn't been good. My own wasn't. And so the idea or the image of God as fathers is quite distorted in society. But actually, when we look at Jesus, when we see his compassion, Jesus is known for his compassion. The Bible says repeatedly, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd. That's why he taught them. That's why he healed them. That's why he provided for them. Many times he went to the outsiders. You look at the Gospel of Luke, the women, the shepherds, the prostitutes, those who were tax collectors. No one likes tax inspectors ever, huh? But they were definitely hated by the Romans because they were seen as collaborators. Imagine being a Nazi collaborator and then becoming a disciple of Jesus. That's the kind of impact that happens. And Jesus comes and says, listen, I am the truth. If you want to know what God is like, look at me. Look at what I do. Look at the healings. Look at the forgiveness that I bring. Jesus, and it wasn't a term of endearment by the religious leaders, but Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Why? Because people who had messed up, people who were carrying guilt and shame and baggage. Let's be honest, I'll not look at anyone in particular. We all have baggage, yes? Come on, you're in church, tell the truth. We all have baggage, we all have history, we all have stuff we wouldn't want to be projected on that big screen, huh? Come on. Jesus says he is the truth and he comes to us in grace. He comes just longing to give us forgiveness. But when Jesus talks about truth, it's more than an intellectual truth. Because that's what we think of mainly in the West, in this scientific rational mindset. But in the Jewish mindset, truth was experienced. Truth wasn't just head knowledge. It was something you lived in your heart. It was something you experienced in your heart. It was something you knew to be true deep down inside. And you lived out of that. I've been married to Bev for 31 years. You've got a way to go, Philip. She's not here today because she's ill, unfortunately. She took ill overnight. But if you can imagine that before I married Bev all that time ago, I went into a bookshop and saw a book that said something like this. Bev, an amazing woman. You think, okay, I like biographies. I'll pick that up, blessing. And I flick through. Remember when you used to have Borders? It had a nice coffee shop and a bookshop. You could sit down and, yeah. And imagine I look at the book and it says, chapter 1, her gentle and loving personality. That's a good start, Ian, isn't it? Always nice to have your wife on your side. Number 2, her extraordinary endurance. She's a good Irish woman, so no messing. She's resilient. She gets on with it, Louis. Chapter 3, her strong gifts of mercy. She's the nice one, Amara. If you want someone to listen to you, talk to Bev. If you want someone to give you answers, then come to me. That's how it works. She's the one with the gifts of mercy. Chapter 4, her potential to be a patient wife. She's needed that in the 31 years with me. Chapter 5, her excellent cooking skills. I mean, come on, guys. This is a winner, isn't it? And if I picked up that book, that would be intellectual knowledge, wouldn't it? That would be, yeah, I can see that. I can read that. But after 31 years, I know Bev. I know her because I've lived with her. I have a relationship with her. I'm united with her. We're going in the same direction. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says, I'm the truth. Not something you read in a book. Or as some people do, start at the start and then get after about 6 days, go, whoa, there's a lot of names I can't read. No. It's not about what you read. It's about the relationship you have. Because Jesus says he is the truth to be experienced. Finally, Jesus said that he brings life in a dark world. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, I am the life. Following Jesus is the only way to secure our eternal future. One man who was hanging with him on the cross come to recognize by his death that there was something different about him. And he said, today when you're in paradise, will you remember me? And Jesus said, yes, I will remember you. Today you will be with me in paradise. You see, there's lots of religion and there's lots of people who kind of think, well, I kind of hope I get to heaven. I hope that my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. My mother wouldn't go to bed without saying the Lord's Prayer, because she kind of hoped that really it was just enough to balance things out. But we can have that assurance of forgiveness. We can have that assurance of salvation. We can know we're in relationship with God and we can get to heaven. See, Jesus came to set us free from the things that spoil our lives, the things that are wrong in our lives. The Bible says that we have all fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned. Some of them may be bigger sins than others, but we've all sinned in thought, in word, and deed. And it's not like ticking off a list, because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And we have all failed in that. Sin is not just about robbing a bank or murdering someone. It's about our failure to worship God for who He is. It's our failure to acknowledge Him as our Creator, as our Savior. It's falling short of His standard. Compared to me, you're probably a very good person. Compared to someone else, you're probably a very good person. But we fall short of God's standards. That's why we need a Savior, because we have lived independently of God. But the Christian message is good news of a God that loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. That He freely, willingly sent Jesus. And at the cross, Jesus took everything that is wrong with us. All our sins, all our mistakes, all our guilt, all our shame, all our pride, all our fear. Everything that messes us up. Everything that draws us away to live a life independently of God. He took those on the cross. That's why He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's the good news of the cross. And to prove it, God raised Him from the dead. See, if you're kind of skeptical, and some of you may be here and you're skeptical, then my challenge to you is to go and prove the resurrection wrong. Because the resurrection is the linchpin of Christianity. Come back to me when you've done it. The resurrection is the linchpin of Christianity. That's why we don't have Jesus on a cross. Because He's not on a cross. He rose from the dead. And because of that, He has the power even over death. He's the power to give us eternal life. Power to set us free. Power to allow us to have a relationship with God. Power to make us the people God wants us to be. Let me ask you a question. What's the greatest miracle you ever think you could receive? For some of you, it might be a miracle in your finances. You think, oh, please God, yeah. The problem with my money is there's too much month left at the end of my money. Maybe that's how you feel, and you need a miracle in your finances. That would be a great miracle. We're happy to pray for that, actually, at the end. Maybe for you, it would be a great miracle in your family. If your family's anything like mine, then the tune playing in your head is EastEnders. Yeah. It's those... And you think, oh, if these people weren't my family. Some of you have family like that, I can tell. Maybe the greatest miracle in your family would be peace at Christmas. We can pray for that. Maybe for some of you it would be a miracle in your body. Maybe you need healing today. Maybe you need physical healing. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual. Whatever that is, do you know what? We believe God heals. Some of you are here because God is physically healed. I've seen deaf people, blind people healed when I've prayed for them. Not some televangelist, but when I've prayed for them. God can do amazing miracles and we're happy to pray for you. But all of those things is not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is us receiving God's forgiveness and receiving eternal life. It's so important we've written it on the wall. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We can have eternal life. It's not just an unending quantity of life. It's a quality of life. It's a change that these guys spoke about. It's having that peace in your heart. It's God dealing with those things that is the clutter in your life. God wants to deal with that. God has already made a way for the greatest miracle in your life, that you would receive His forgiveness and His freedom. Those of you who are regulars here or who listen online will know one of the things that I say is that I don't preach simply for information. I'm not here so that you say, oh, he's a nice person, went on a bit long, but yeah. I'm not here for information. I'm here for transformation. I'm preaching a message so that your life can be transformed. So I'm going to challenge you that you have a step to consider. One of a number of steps. So what's your next step? The first one may be, come and see. Do you know that's what Jesus said to some disciples? Some potential followers of Him? He said, just come and see. You may be at that place. You say, David, I really don't believe this. I'm just here for the family, or I'm here because someone invited me. Do you know what? I understand that. Meet me for a coffee. Come and talk that stuff through. Talk to me about your objections. Talk to me about why you don't believe. Join us online. Come in person. And just begin to come and see. Don't write the Christian faith off if you've never had a proper look. And I don't mean hatching, matching and dispatching. I don't mean birth, deaths and marriages. That doesn't count generally. I mean actually look at the Christian faith. I'll meet anyone for a coffee. I'll even pay. Some of you are getting your diaries out. I'll take you for a coffee. Just come and see. That's all I ask. For some of you, that's a first step. For others, maybe you've actually thought about this. Maybe you've been listening online. Maybe the next step for you is a Christianity Explored course. If you Google Christianity Explored, or if you look in the welcome sheet that you got, there's a website address there. Maybe you need to actually seriously look at this. Maybe you need to understand why we focus on Jesus. Why it is the message about Jesus Christ. It's not about church. It's not about the leaders. Not about the denomination we belong to. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to investigate that more. Maybe you need to take that seriously and don't dismiss it. We run a course over 7 weeks. We can do it online. We can do it in person. I can do it one-to-one. If you're serious about this, then I tell you, I will find a way to meet with you in person or online. Christianity Explored. For some of you, and here's the big one, you need to make a commitment to follow Jesus today. Maybe you've been online. We have people who follow online from different countries. Maybe you've been listening for a while. Maybe your wife has left you some little booklets to read. Maybe Michelle's been in contact with you. Maybe someone's given you stuff and you've listened and you've read. Maybe you're at that point where actually you're ready to make a commitment to follow Jesus today. Do you know what? Here's how you do it. Sorry, please, and thank you. It's actually very simple. I'm Irish, so we have to keep it simple. You can say sorry for all the ways that you know you've lived your life independently of God. For all the things that you know you wish no one else ever knew. That God can deal with that sin, that failure of worship, that missing the mark today. You can say sorry for those things and turn away from everything that you know is wrong. The Bible word is repentance. It simply means a U-turn. You're doing a U-turn in your life. You can say thank you. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for you. That all our sin, all the wrong things was poured on Him. And because of that, we can have forgiveness. We can have eternal life. It's through Jesus. And then you say, please, please come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you. We're going to put a prayer up on the screen. And we're all going to say it together. We're all going to repeat it. And after the service, if you've prayed this prayer for the first time and you've meant it, then please see myself or Ian or one of the leaders, one of the guys up front, and say, I made that decision today. I made that commitment to follow Christ. What's my next step? We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you resources. We're not about manipulation. We're not about guilt. There's no high pressure sales technique. There's no special music. But if you're making this commitment to follow Jesus today, we'd love to help you take the next step in that journey. So we're all going to say it together. So follow with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the wrong things in my life. I now turn away from everything that I know is wrong and turn towards you. Thank you for taking my sin on the cross. I now receive your forgiveness. I ask you to please come to fill me with your Spirit, to be with me forever. Help me to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the invitation that you present to us today. That we can decide today to follow you. Whether that's come and see, whether that's Christianity Explored, or whether that's a full-on commitment to say yes to you today. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We're going to do the baptisms now. So Ian, if you want to take the tank away. Guys, if you're ready, come and take your shoes off. Make sure there's no phones, no car keys in your pocket. All of the electronic stuff. I don't want to have to push your car. So we're going to do this alphabetically. So Adam will be first. Liz, and kids, if you want to come to the front and sit and watch, if you're not already there, that's fine. Adults can obviously take pictures and stuff as well. Liz, where's Liz? Yep. Liz is going to read a Bible verse once we're in the tank and get things sorted. So we have a Bible verse for each and every one, as well as a baptism certificate.
Adam, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here.
Amen. Yes, you can clap. So, Adam, on confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, Father, we thank you for Adam. We thank you for this great step of faith that he's taken. We thank you the symbol of leaving his old life behind and into the new life in Christ Jesus. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and use him to reach many people, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Annabella. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation.
Annabella, in confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Father, we pray for Annabella. We pray your blessing on her. Pray you give her a strong sense of purpose and direction in everything that you want to do in her life and family. Amen. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Linda, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
So, Linda, on confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for Linda taking this act of obedience to follow you. We pray you bless her, keep her. Everything that she desires in life, we pray you give her the desires of her heart. Fill her with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Well done. Okay. Come on.
What's got your watch?
I bet your watch is okay.
Yeah.
Tomek. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Tomek, in confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for you now. Father, we thank you for Tomek. We thank you for his discovery of the truth of that relationship with you. Amen. We pray you bless him and Violetta.
Amen.
Fill him with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 God bless you, Father.
Violetta, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Violetta, on confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Like water, huh? Let's pray for you. So Father, we thank you for Violetta. We thank you for this statement of faith that she's making about following you. We pray you bless her, fill her with your Holy Spirit, guide her and lead her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.